The Natural Way with Sandy. Dr. Sandy Rogers bringing you Folk Medicine Revival. The Natural Way. The past guides us to well-being.
Hello, folks, and welcome to The Natural Way with Sandy, our podcast series, continuing into the new year of 2020. The one thing to point out at this particular point in time is we are going to be going into fortnightly instead of weekly podcasts. There are so many of them out there that people just can't keep up, really. So I'm going to be doing them fortnightly still at the same time. Now, today's podcast is going to be about blood pressure. Now, I know that we've spoken about blood pressure, so the regular followers of the program will know that we've probably covered it once or twice since we've started the podcast. But I really do want to cover blood pressure again in this particular one to start the new year off, because I find that many people don't know what their blood pressure is. Now, they may go to the doctor and the doctor will take the blood pressure and they will either forget what that reading is, or alternatively, what can happen is they don't actually understand what the numbers mean. The doctor may say, well, the blood pressure is high, we're going to use medication, or alternatively, they will just give the numbers, they'll say, yes, it's fine, and then that's it. Well, you know, folks, blood pressure is something that is so important. And the reason for that, it is regarded as a silent killer. The blood pressure does really need to go up significantly in order for you to many times get any symptoms. So therefore, you could be sitting on the higher side or even a dangerous side of blood pressure and not even know it. One of my clients had a reading when I took it of 195 over 98. She said she felt perfectly fine, although she had been tired for around about 6 to 7 weeks, but she'd been away, she'd been on a cruise, and she just thought, well, I'm really busy, and that was that. But she really did have a bit of shortness of breath as well, so I took the blood pressure. Now, we have no idea how long that blood pressure had been elevated for, because the last time I took the blood pressure was around about 7 months prior to that, and it was in normal parameters for her. Now, of course, some of you will be sitting there saying, what is normal parameters? Well, there's so many variables that we have to consider, more particularly age. There's lots of things to consider, as in what is a normal blood pressure. But if you can get your blood pressure and keep it in around about 125, 130 over 70 to 75, you're not in dangerous areas. But if it starts creeping up into the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, up into the 190s as an example, then, and that is the upper reading, if the lower readings get up over 80 and they're getting into the 90s and in over 100, then this is very dangerous. So with blood pressure, we can get strokes as an example, and that's where people can be feeling perfectly fine and next minute they have a stroke. So let's start off 2020 with looking at and keeping an eye on our blood pressure. We should all be doing this. It's not difficult to take your own blood pressure. You can go and you can buy a monitor, and you can, but don't get fanatical, but you can go and buy a monitor and do it yourself and keep a record of what's going on. But the other thing about doing your own blood pressure can be a little problematical in that it will go up and down as the day progresses. And if you're particularly busy, if you're doing certain things, or you might have a little bit of an upset, or you might get a little bit angry, or have a bit of a change of personality over an incident, well, then the blood pressure will go up naturally. So it really is a matter of being sensible and asking yourself, what have I been doing in the last couple of hours if it is up? So let's be sensible about it, but take our blood pressure. And how often people ask me, particularly when I give talks around these sorts of things, well, I like to see that you take your blood pressure twice a week and it alternate at the other end of the day. So if one day you take it in the morning, then the few days later, take it later in the afternoon. And then look for averages, so at least then you know what's happening. So in order to be able to, we can say, okay, we want to be able to perhaps lower the blood pressure because it's elevated. And we may, as an example, and there are some people who can't tolerate the blood pressure medication that doctor uses. That isn't for everybody, but for some it is. And we need to provide options. And as all of you know who listen to my podcast or watch me on Vasily's Garden or actually come to any of my talks as I do them around the country, you'll know that it is really important to work in tandem with your doctor as well as your naturopath or your natural medicine practitioner or herbalist, because in this way you're getting the best of both worlds. So let's look at quite a few things I want to cover now about how you can keep your blood pressure in normal parameters. I think one of the first things to consider is to look at exercise, really, because as we get older, we might be a bit stiffer, might have a few more aches and pains, and it may be that you don't have as much exercise as you used to have. And many people think that they have to have a lot of exercise in order to be able to make the exercise work well. But that isn't the case at all. In fact, if you did 15 minutes of walking a day, then that would be very therapeutic. But there's a really good way to walk, and it's called the cardiovascular walk. The way you do that is you set aside 15 minutes. You start from point A and you walk for 9 minutes. Keep an eye on your clock and really take your time to do this. Don't go too fast in the first 9 minutes. Turn around and then get back to point A in 6 minutes. So that means you've got to pick up the tempo. Now, starting to do that is a really, really good way of being able to start working to get your body into rhythm and gently bring in exercise. Then the goal would be to get up to 30 minutes. So you would walk out for 18 minutes and then you would get back to your starting point in 12 minutes. And if you did that on a day-to-day basis, then you would find that your blood pressure may, and often does, stabilise itself fantastically. The second thing, and I think they're both linked for their importance, equal in number one, is reducing tension in the body. Now, a lot of people don't realise how much tension they actually hold, and tension being held in the body can be a major contributing factor to elevated blood pressure. I'll ask people and say, how did your body feel? So they might be sitting talking to me in clinic and they'll say, it feels okay. Is there any tension anywhere in your body? And they'll say, I don't think so. But what I'm looking at is their shoulders are up near their ears. They've got a lot of tension in their shoulders, are round, they're rounded off and really held up tight. So I ask them to just move their head side to side, forward and back, side to side, and then take a big deep breath and on the exhalation force their shoulders down and then rotate their head again. They go, oh, that feels different. They never realized that they had that tension there in the first place. So reducing tension in the body is a really good thing to do. So let me give you a few little pointers. Sit in a comfortable lounge chair. Sit with your back relaxed. Now, not sitting up nice and straight like we would in meditation classes. What you do is you just allow your body to relax into the chair. Then slowly breathe through the nose and out the mouth. And a nice inhalation, counting to four. And an exhalation, counting to four. So in and out. On the exhalation, just move different parts of your body. And that will start taking tension out. Have you got tension in your tummy? Are your toes curled up? Some people, they get so tense that when they're sitting and relaxing, their toes start to curl up. Here in Queensland, in a warmer climate, I see people with open shoes because of the heat, and their toes are pressed into the shoe or they're turned up. But they don't realise that tension is actually there. So it's a really important thing to ask yourself how much tension is in the body. Now, while we're talking about tension, what is your lifestyle like? Are you under a lot of pressure? Lots to do? Do you have difficulties with human beings around you, family, friends, colleagues? It really is very important to learn coping strategies, and that coping strategies is something that I'm finding more and more people are having great difficulty achieving. That's why I've now gone and written a short course on your life, your journey, how to reduce stress and really develop coping skills. And it's encapsulated around mindfulness practice. Now, it's not mindfulness the way the gurus out there are doing it. It's very, very basic mindfulness, and it's exactly the way mindfulness should be. So that short course will be coming up within the next month or so. And if you're interested, just shoot me off an email to Sandy, S-A-N-D-I, at sandyrogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, .com.au, and just say you're interested in the Your Life, Your Journey course, and I can let you know when it's going to be launched. Definitely be getting it out there by around the end of January of 2020. So learning good coping strategies is very important. Not allowing situations to come along and then your body reacts and responds to those stressors by holding tension in the body. Getting angry, out of control with emotions, because your blood pressure will skyrocket if that's the case. And while we talk about that skyrocketing, the fluctuations of blood pressure is an important consideration to think about as well. Going up and down, the variability factor, the surging and the crashing, is really problematical for well-being and a major contributing factor. By the same token, when we are looking at memory and dementia, and it's maybe go back and have a look at the one that we did on dementia, because that was a very, very popular one that we did some time back. I think it was around about podcast number 7 on the 14th of August 2019. Don't quote me on that, just go back through the list. So the next thing that we look at is, and this is a big one, because salt and sodium is in so many foods, and more particularly, the more man has had to do with food in order to be able to process it and to get it tasting okay, 9 times out of 10 they'll start putting lots of salt or sugar or fat. So salt, sugar and fats, 3 of the worst things for blood pressure, come into processed foods. So you've got to really look at reducing salt to start with, because as the sodium level goes up in the diet, the potassium level goes down, and potassium is so important to be able to balance the body out with blood pressure. So when we're looking at the sodium intake, read labels and make sure that you start reducing salt right down in the diet. And again, the more processed a food is, the more it will probably hold the salt, sugar, and fat. Now, in relation also, now while we look at those combinations, alcohol is something that is really, the jury's out in a way on alcohol, but generally moderation is a most important thing, and pretty much one glass of alcohol a day is not going to hurt you generally, but you need to be quite careful. Particularly what happens a lot is that people will not have a drink all week, but when they get to Friday night, they will have copious amounts of alcohol to the point of becoming inebriated, and then maybe repeat that on a Saturday, and then they don't drink from Sunday through to the Friday. These binge drinking events are horrendous for the body as it tries to balance itself. So alcohol in moderation, and in fact, a glass of wine or a glass of spirit or a beer is really not going to be hurting you. But when you put something with it, like don't put Coke or those types of drinks because they're packed full of either sugar or they may have no sugar, but the chemical that they are using in order to be able to make it taste okay can be problematical for inflammatory markers in your body. So think about that. Now, we mentioned potassium-rich foods before, and potassium being important for blood pressure. So I'm just going to give you a little list of the potassium-rich foods. Of course, banana is top of the list. But avocado, oranges, yogurt, dairy, beans, and seeds and nuts, dried apricots. Now, what a really good food putting together can be some seeds or nuts or both, some yogurt, maybe some fruit, sliced up banana, and the low-fat yogurt combining to make a little snack. There's a potassium-rich combination there for you. Now, remembering too that as you bring potassium-rich foods into the diet, then that will assist to lower the sodium content that is in the bloodstream as well. So it's a really good thing to think about. And of course, while we think about potassium, it really would be remiss of me not to talk to you about magnesium at the same time, and to have magnesium-rich foods coming in the form of fresh fruits and vegetables. But also in this day and age, I actually recommend that people have magnesium-rich foods, but also have a magnesium supplement, because magnesium is one of those minerals that is usually quite deficient in people's diet as well as in their bloodstream. And because of the water solubility effect, then it is quite safe to be taking a supplement. And more particularly if you've got high blood pressure, if you've got aches and pains like inflammation, compromised immune system, general feeling of sluggishness, get some magnesium coming into the body to be able to assist it at a cellular level for good recovery. The inclusion of other foods such as deep sea fish is a good combination to bringing in as well, to be able to be assisting blood pressure and the entire cardiovascular system. And it's a good thing to get the fish themselves, like salmon and mackerel. Salmon is a good one to have a couple of times a week. And when we've got some of the nicest salmon in this country, then you would be able to get a really lovely fish to be able to have 2 to 3 times a week, but a minimum of 2. A variable to consider also that's become very trendy, we'll go out to have our coffee, but just be aware that caffeine can really elevate blood pressure. And if you're going to have a coffee, have it in the morning and preferably not after 12 o'clock. So it can be a stimulant, but one coffee a day is not going to be problematical, but certainly where people can have between, say, 4 and 6. I had a client some time back who said that they really had about 8 coffees a day, and they literally drank all of them. They didn't go cold and they did not drink them. They literally drank them all. So it was little wonder there was an elevation of blood pressure, and it took some time to get it down. Smoking is another one, and you really do need to look at smoking. If you are smoking, really take stock of what that is doing to your body, because there is no such thing as one cigarette is okay. No cigarettes. That really is the goal to have. I know that it's an addictive substance. I was addicted to. I gave it up maybe 35 years ago, but still I know what it's like to smoke, and it can be, yes, people say it's relaxing and enjoyable, but it is so disastrous for the body. There is no such thing as a good cigarette. so it's no cigarettes. The combinations of, I said before, about salt, sugar and fats, but the one thing I wanted to add in there also was simple carbohydrates. Simple carbs such as, you know, your sugar, your white flours, the highly processed. The more processed food is, the worse it is for you. The more man has interfered with it, the worse it becomes. The more they've interfered and processed in order to be able to have longer lives on the shelves of supermarkets, the less it could be called a food. So go fresh. Fresh is best. But I would like to, and it would be remiss of me being a herbalist and being passionate about my herbs, is not to mention hawthorn berry. Hawthorn berry is a beautiful cardiovascular tonic herb, and your herbalist can get that for you. Some naturopaths also deal in herbal medicine, and you can find hawthorn berry in health food stores and in chemists in pharmacy. And hawthorn berry is a beautiful cardiovascular tonic to include in your daily diet. So let's have a little bit of a rundown. First of all, we do our walk. We do the cardiovascular walk, out for 9, back in 6, and then build that up to out for 18 and back to where you started in 12. A great cardiovascular walk. And if you could get that up to a minimum of 5, but preferably do it every day, would be fantastic. Reduce tension in the body and really take hold and start to learn coping strategies to just how to cope with life, how to make choices that are constructive and are really not reactive, but rather proactive, and get yourself under control. You can't control people and events that are around you, but you can certainly control your response to them. And again, that's why Your Life, Your Journey and our online course will be up and running soon. We used to have it as a 12-week in-class, and through requests of people who knew about it, have asked could it be online. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. Sodium salt intake is very important. Anything highly processed is going to have salt. So the salt, the fat, the sugar. Alcohol to be reduced, 1 a day. Potassium-rich foods, bringing them in at the bananas, avocado, oranges, deep-sea fish, fish oil, seeds and nuts, dairy, low-fat yogurt, and beans, lentils as well, great way. Reduce the caffeine, no smoking, get rid of it. And sugar and simple carbs are a real danger. Magnesium-rich foods to come in, and also to supplement with magnesium and the wonderful herb hawthorn berry. So folks, until next time, please let me just wish you again a very happy new year. And I certainly look forward to bringing the podcast, which will be every 2 weeks. And as usual, let me know if there is any podcast that I can do for you, and I will put it on the list. And I'll do a podcast for you around anything to do with natural medicine, I will be able to do for you. So getting up close to 40 years being in clinic now, I love natural medicine as much as I loved it the first day I started. So happy new year, and please find happiness in every moment. And again, I just love what I'm doing, passionate about what I do, helping people. And these podcasts, we're certainly steaming along now and getting our numbers up. Please let your friends know. If they're not listening to the podcast, get them to do that, because there is something there for everybody. Over and out now, and I'll be talking to you again soon.
The Natural Way with Sandy. Dr. Sandy Rogers bringing you Folk Medicine Revival. The Natural Way. The past guides us to well-being.